before and shook hands with me. And I moved toward the other door with her and laid my arm across her shoulder and was holding her hand, and we talked a while. And she assured me of her joy at being here and the blessings that the message is always meant to her. And 4 days later, she died. This past Thursday morning, they found her sitting in her chair, peacefully asleep, and gone to be with God. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'll preach her funeral. Last Sunday morning, I preached the gospel to her and talked with her and fellowshiped with her. And this Sunday afternoon, I'll stand over her lifeless body and say a few words to the family. Now, this has happened before here. It's happened again and again and again. It's happened many, many times. And it'll happen again many times. Somebody's going to sit here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then they're going to leave, and we're going to exchange greetings, handshake, and then I'm going to be called by the family and notified of their death. It's happened many times, and it'll happen again. But every time it does, I am deeply, deeply affected. And I ask myself many questions. I don't ask myself if I preach the gospel to them. I did. I do. I never preach here without preaching the gospel. But here's what I ask myself. I ask myself this. If all of us here on these occasions, if all of us are as aware as we should be, if I am, if you are, of the uncertainty of this life, are we? Are we aware of the uncertainty of this life? Are we aware of the certainty of death? It is appointed unto men once to die. And we can quote that and we say that, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. I ask myself, are we really, all of us, as aware as we ought to be of the uncertainty of life, of the certainty of death, and are we truly prepared for this experience? Are you, am I, truly prepared, as the prophet said in Amos, to meet God? Are you ready to die? Now, this is a comment I hear often. And I know too often it's not true of whom it's said. I know this. You do too. I hear this. Well, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. I hear him say he was ready to meet his Maker. God help us. It makes cold chills run up. Ready to meet God. I hear others say, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to die. I wonder, and when I hear this, I wonder, are these just idle words spoken to sort of give us courage for this fearful moment? Is that the reason we say things like that? I'm ready to kind of buoy up your spirits and your feet. Or maybe they're just idle words we say to give our relatives and friends a little comfort standing about us, and let them know that they don't have to worry about us. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I tell you, there's only one who could say that and really mean it. Don't worry about me. That was our Lord Jesus Christ said, weep not for me, weep for yourselves. If you can weep, weep for me. It'd be all right. If you're concerned for me, I rejoice. That's no burden for me to bear. Or maybe they're just idle words without any biblical foundation. Is this my opinion or is this the promise of God? I'm ready to die. Now, is that my opinion or his? There's a difference. Does God say I'm ready or am I saying I'm ready? You see, I do know this. My friends, I know this. Will you listen to this? I know this. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, a man is not ready to die. He's not ready to die if the Lord doesn't know him and he doesn't know the Lord. You see, I've heard people often say a man's not ready to die if he doesn't know the Lord. But what's this if the Lord doesn't know him? Yeah, if the Lord doesn't know him. Christ said to those at the judgment, I never knew you. They claimed to know him. They claimed to have known him. They said, Lord, we preached in your name and cast out devils in your name and did many wonderful works. He said, I never knew you. So a man's not ready to die if God doesn't know him. Christ said, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. And I give them eternal life. And our Lord said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Secondly, a man's not ready to die if he has no accepted mediator. I didn't say if he has no mediator. I said if he has no accepted mediator. There are a lot of folks who claim to have a mediator with God. But the only accepted mediator is Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. Isn't that what the word says? There's one God and one mediator. And there are a lot of folks who claim to have a mediator. Seeing we have that one great high priest, then let us come boldly into the presence of God. Man's not ready to die if God doesn't know him and he doesn't know God, if he doesn't have that accepted, appointed mediator. Thirdly, a man's not ready to die if he's not been born again. Christ said, except you be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. If he hasn't been regenerated, he's not ready to die. If he has not repented, Christ said, except you repent, you'll perish. If he's not been converted, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. If he does not have a righteousness, our Lord said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. Got to have a righteousness. And Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They have a righteousness. It's one they have established. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I'm not being difficult. I'm not being narrow-minded, although the way is narrow, he said. I'm not seeking to rob anybody of a hope for heaven. I'm not seeking, as one person said to me, don't shake my foundation. That's not what I'm seeking to do. I'm endeavoring to set forth here the one hope of grace, the one hope of life, the one hope of salvation. The one hope of every person who is ready to die. And the Scripture plainly declares that. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John the 5th chapter. Now this is as plain as words can make it. 1 John 5 verse 11. Listen to it. 1 John 5:11. This is the record. This is it, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and he hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, the Lord Jesus doesn't say that he's a way to God. Doesn't say that at all. He said, I am the way. I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father, he said, but by me. I'm not a way, I'm the way. The name of Christ is not a name whereby we're saved. There's none other name given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord. The Lord Jesus is not a foundation. He says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. He's the foundation. The Lord Jesus is not a hope. Well, the Lord's my hope. He's the only hope. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Not a hope, it's the hope. The Lord Jesus is not a head of a church, a body. The Scripture says, and he is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what I'm saying. I want you to turn to John 6. Now, whatever this means, whatever it means, I believe I know. I believe many of you know. But whatever it means, now we need to find out. Whatever it means, if it takes you a year to find out what this means, it'll be a year well spent. Takes me a year, it'll be a year well spent. John 6, 51. John 6, 51. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I'll raise him up, that person up, at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat. They had the religion, they had the manna, they had the farm, they had the ceremony, they're dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I preached down in Australia over at Tamworth Reformed Church, and they had a special evening service on Sunday in which they were going to have a dinner. And the people were told to invite their neighbors and friends and relatives, especially unsaved people, folks that work with them, anybody. Going to be a free meal. It's going to be a southern finger-licking good dinner. That's the way they advertised it in the bulletin. Just go out and get people and bring them in. And I was going to preach to them. And they had a big crowd of people there. They had 40 visitors, 40 people that hadn't been there before that were invited and brought in. Just people ate. And then they all turned around, and I got up and preached. And God gave me some liberty to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus, to shut me in up to him, to Christ alone. I preached almost an hour. And one of the elders of the church had brought a couple with him, a man and his wife in their early 40s or mid-40s, neighbors. And they went home. They told him the next day, and he told me about this. They went home in silence. And they went in the living room and sat down. And he looked across at her, and he said, "All right." He said, "Are we going to take this seriously? Or are we going to go on like we have been?" And she replied, she told the elder, "I think we better take it seriously." And I think you had. I think you had. Better take it seriously. And I'm going to talk to you a few minutes now about the man who prayed to die. Turn to Luke 2. Here's a man who prayed to die. A man confident, assured, peaceful, and resting in his spirit at the thought of dying right then. He even asked God to let him die right then. In the stories in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." That's the first thing I note about him. He was a man. As James said, a man of like passions, a son of Adam. There's no reason for me to look on these men and women in Scripture as being some supernatural super person. They're just men. And it's people like you and me. It was a man. A human being in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a man. He had a name. His name was Simeon. One time he was born, his mother and daddy said, "Well, we're going to name this child. Name him Simeon. That's a good name." "Yeah, that's a good name. We'll name him Simeon." And Simeon grew up in the home, and he had to have his diapers changed like you did, and he was fed like you are, and he went to school like you did, and he played marbles like you do, and he grew up, and he became, he's a man. His name is Simeon, but it said the same man was just and devout. That doesn't mean he was justified before God. That doesn't mean he was any holier than any other man. He was a man who feared God. That's what the scripture said, a man who feared God, and a man who was serious and sincere about the things of God. He wasn't playing a game. This man was a man who was feared God, and a man who was sincere and serious about the things of God and the relationship that he has with God. And most of you are too. I am. And look at the next line. "And he was waiting for something." He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What is that? He was waiting for the Messiah. See, he lived before Calvary. He lived before Christ was born into this world. He lived when the only scriptures he had was the Old Testament. And the only preachers he had was those priests and Pharisees and folks around the temple. Somebody said he was a priest himself. I don't know. Maybe he was. But he was waiting for the Messiah. This man believed the Old Testament. He believed the scriptures. He believed the promises and prophecies and pictures. He believed that the Messiah was coming, that God was going to send a Savior, a substitute. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's how come he believed it. The Spirit of God taught him those things. No man knows the things of God except the Spirit revealed them to him. In verse 26 says, God had also revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until he had seen, watch this, the Lord's Christ. That's the one for whom he was looking, the Christ, the Messiah, the expected one. And the Lord revealed to him that he would not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And such is the case of all whom God purposes to save. They're not going to die till they see the Lord's Christ. His elect. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They've got to come to Christ. They've got to see Christ. They've got to. That's true of all. The Lord's Christ. Peter said at Pentecost, this one whom you crucified, God hath raised from the dead and made him Lord and Christ. John 20 says this, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. You see, Simeon had all the holy days, if that could help a fella. He had all the ceremonies. He kept the Sabbath. Diligently, devoutly. He had the law. He had the rules and regulations. He had the Passover. He had the ordinances. He had the temple. He had the tradition. But one thing he lacked. One thing was needful. One thing. He had to see the Messiah. You'll not see death till you see him. And when you see him, you don't mind seeing death. That's right. You're going to see the Messiah. You're going to see the one of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And verse 27, now watch this. Here we see the Lord crossed his path. Now listen to it. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. There was a certain day, a certain time, he came into the temple. And also at the same time, the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. You can read in Leviticus what had to be done at certain times. A child born, a Jewish child, had to be circumcised at 8 days and weaned from his mother a certain time and weaned from his governess at a certain time and tutor. And then a certain day he was to be brought to the temple again. But anyway, this was the infant, the purification. Back here in verse 23, look back up here, verse 22 of this Luke 2. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is a child Jesus. As it is written in the law, this is in Exodus, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of God, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary had come to the temple, not to see Simeon. She'd come to bring Christ, Jesus, her son, for this purification ceremony. That's why she came. But God brought him to the temple at the same time. See, I'm not going to dwell on the purpose of God in this, nor the providence of God in the life of this man, except to say, all whom God is pleased to save, he will in some way reveal Christ to them. They're going to cross the path of the Son of God. Got to. The gospel. The pure gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And so Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, the Christ, to the temple, and God's Spirit brought Simeon. I believe it's the fulfillment of... Turn to with me to Malachi a moment. I want to show you something here. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Let me show you something here. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he'll come, saith the Lord of hosts. Here he is. He's come to his temple. And I believe, let me read you this, don't look it up. I believe Simeon might have thought of this scripture, Isaiah 25, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We have waited for him. I don't know how old Simeon was, but he'd waited for the Messiah. He waited for him, and he'll save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now then, make the application, all right? For whatever purpose you have come to this place, call it the temple. I don't know when we start calling buildings churches. This, we got 13th Street Baptist Church out there on the... This is not the 13th Street Baptist Church. The 13th Street Baptist Church are people. People, the body of Christ. This is a temple. That's right, this is a tabernacle, this is a temple. This is not a church. It's a temple. So you've come to the temple. And I've come here with Christ. Christ in His Word. You've been brought this way, and we preach Christ Jesus from the Old Testament and from the New. And I tell you this, those who really have waited for Him will recognize Him. Simeon did. Simeon recognized it. For it said in the next verse, verse 28, listen. He took him up in his arms. You know, I don't know what the custom was regarding the law at that time. Mary brought this child to the temple. He was just an infant. This Son of God, this incarnate God, this one who would grow up and walk this earth in perfection, God in human flesh and die on a cross and be buried and rise again and go back to glory, God in human flesh. I don't know what the custom was when a mother brought a new infant to the temple for this purification and so forth, but I know Simeon saw him, and the response in his heart made him reach and take him out of the arms of Mary. This man took him out of her arms into his own. He received Christ. He literally took him out of her arms and embraced him in faith, in hope, in love. And I stand here this morning and I preach Christ. He's all and in all. I bring Him and His Word into your presence. Here He is, the Son of God. Will you respond like Simeon and take Him out of my hand and out of my lips and out of my mouth and out of my message and receive Him into your heart? I don't mean just the facts about Him. I mean Him, like Simeon did. Simeon, when she walked in with that child, he just reached out and took him in his arms, as if there wasn't another person there in that place, not Mary and John. I tell you this, he didn't, look at the next line, he said he blessed God. He didn't bless Mary. He did not bless Mary. He didn't bless Joseph. He blessed the fountain of all mercies and the fountain of all grace. He blessed God. I think the old man forgot Mary and Joseph were even there, or anybody else. He blessed God for His covenant mercies. He blessed God for His grace to him. He blessed God for the gift of His Son. He blessed God for fulfilled promises. I'm really not worried about God's sheep following a man. They know who's to be blessed. They know who's to be praised. They know who's to be glorified. And that man walks in with Christ, preaching Christ. They forget he's even there. They just reach and take that glorious good news from him and embrace it themselves. He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. He's my Redeemer. I bless God for revealing him to my heart. I bless God. And then watch this. And then he said, Lord, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord, with all authority over all flesh in heaven and earth, Lord, now let Thy servant die. Let me depart. Let me die. God controls life and death. God controls breath. God controls all these things. It's in the hands of God. He has permission to die. He prays to die. Lord, let me depart. Let me depart now. I can die in peace now. I can really die in peace. Why? Mine eyes have seen Thy salvation. I've seen Thy salvation. You can't overemphasize that statement. Whom had he seen? What had he seen? Not a doctrine. not an emotional experience. He'd seen a person. He'd seen the Christ.
He didn't see him on the cross. He didn't see him going about healing people. He saw him as an infant. And yet he saw in that infant all the promise. God said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. You call his name Emmanuel. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father.
And old Simeon said, that's all I need to see. This is all I need to see, a person. I see him. Watch this. Verse 31, which you prepared. You prepared him. A body hast thou prepared me, Christ said. You prepared him right before the face of all the people, openly, publicly. God's made him known. There's plenty of evidence if you want evidence. Most people don't want evidence. You want evidence of his office, of his person, of his work? Are you really interested? Simeon believed God. He believed God. Lord, now let me die in peace. It's the only way to die in peace. According to your word, you said, I wouldn't die till I'd seen him. I've seen him. I've seen him. He didn't have to add anything. He didn't have to run, knock on some doors and witness. He didn't have to run, do anything, Cecil. He didn't have to, he had seen the Christ. I've seen him and I believe him. I believe him. Now I'll die. Because he, verse 32, is the light. The light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Nothing needs to be added. That's when a man, woman, boy, or girl is ready to die. When they've seen the Lord. You think of anything to add to that? I can't think of anything to add. An experience or a time or a place or anything. And I've preached Christ to you this morning. I've preached Christ to you through the years. And that's our hope. Lord, now let me die in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I believe that Jesus died for me, and with his blood, his precious blood, I shall from sin be free.